Thanks. Come on, grab your seats. Let's go for this thing. Thanks for just honoring Jesus in me. He's amazing. Listen, the Bible says there's no boasting. People say, look, I don't want to puff you up or I don't want to get your head big. It's no man has anything unless it's been given. It says there's no boasting in anything because whatever a man has, he's received. So just always remember that. Whatever you have that's in him came from him. Amen? There's a reason we have to keep telling Christians how to be Christians because we've been told it's a whole lot of other things. If you were the enemy and you knew you couldn't defeat God, then you'd probably try to defeat the people of God by getting them to believe something that's not true and distorting and perverting and twisting things. I got a vision one time in prayer. Man, I don't know what happened to me here. We might be in trouble. It'll be a good trouble, I promise. God's good. I just feel real emotional. Whoa, God, help me. Because this thing's real to me. I've been face to face with stuff. I've been a pastor for, I've only been saved 19 years. I've been a pastor for 17 of those years. I've never been to Bible school. I've never had any training. I've never been to a spiritual class. But man, I know I've been with him. And nobody's ever asked me for my qualification or my ordination. It's amazing. No one's ever asked me. I've been in prisons and I haven't had to show an ordination card. I was in an emergency room, rubber room, with an 18-year-old naked boy that was suicidal. And nobody's allowed in there but the hospital psychiatrist. But I was sitting in there. It's amazing what God will do when you have a sincere heart, you care and you love and you have something to give. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and like a mighty river, he'll turn it where he wishes. The word king in that proverb means the one in authority. That day I was in the emergency rubber room, there was a naked 18-year-old boy against the wall that I had known who was pulling his hair and trembling, who had gotten himself in trouble, who had known the Lord, who had been baptized in the Spirit, who had prayed in tongues. Just got himself in trouble. And when I heard what happened to him, I ran to the hospital. And I didn't know I wasn't allowed in there. I don't know none of that stuff. I'm just me, and I walk right up to this fella. And I said, man, I'm here to see so-and-so. I'm a pastor. Very important I see him. I would be honored to see him. He said, oh, my goodness, I'll take you to him. He walks me back, opens this padded, keyed, coded door, and lets me in. And the lady, when she saw me in there, freaked out and had no idea how I got in there. Freaked out. We went to look for the man, and nobody could find the man. And she said, there's no one here that works that looks like that. You know, you don't have to believe that. It don't matter to me. Unbelief's a problem in the church anyway. You don't have to believe it. It's your business. I sat there with that boy and poured out my heart, and this lady freaked out on me. And I said, ma'am, I didn't try to cause trouble. I had no ability to get in this door on my own. That short, dark-haired fellow that works out in the emergency walked me back here. She said, what short, dark-haired fellow? And I said, ma'am, I'm sorry you're so upset, and I'm sorry if I broke protocol. I just care about the young man. The man let me in. What was I going to do? I went in. I figured it was okay. He walked me right back in. How would I know how to get in this door, ma'am? And she said, well, I had tears in my eyes. I said, he's in big trouble. She said, well, nobody should see him but the hospital psychiatrist. I said, well, I appreciate the time I got with him because I know him, and I have something to offer him, and he trusts me, and I'm sitting there with an 18-year-old boy naked, wrapped my arm around him. I got him so close to me. I'm pouring my heart out to him. I don't have to be there. I want to be. I'm not there because I'm a pastor. I'm there because Jesus is in me and I have the ability to get in the room by the Spirit of God. I ought to go in there and help the boy. Nobody paid me for going in there. I didn't send a bill to his parents. There's a thing called love that's amazing. It doesn't know boundaries. And I found that the world's boundaries and the church's false boundaries can't stop love.
Amen.
Love goes anywhere that it needs to. She said, well, were you finished with him? I'm like, what kind of question is that? She is scolding me. And I said, well, no, I was at a very important place, actually, when you came to the door. But I'm thankful for the time I had, ma'am. And I just hope you can understand. And she said, well, no. I'll tell you what. I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to give you 15 more minutes, but you've got to ring out in 15 minutes. I thought, this is crazy. I ain't supposed to be in there. She scolded me for being in there. We can't find the man that let me in there. She's mad at me, and now I get 15 more minutes. You just can't figure this stuff out. You can't analytically, you just can't. So my 15 minutes are up, and I was real gracious. I did better than when I'm preaching because it was a serious situation. I opted out in about 14. Probably till I rang out, it was about 14 minutes and 30 seconds. I was early. Didn't want to be, but I was. I was obeying. I rang out, and this other lady came, and she said, "Yes, sir." I said, the one lady, I forget her name, I'm so sorry. I said, she left me talk to this young man, and she told me that I could only take 15 minutes and that I had to ring out in 15 minutes whether I was done or not, and I'm just trying to obey that and honor that and just appreciate the time. She said, "Well, are you finished?" I said, "Honey, I would love to spend time with this young man. It's very important, things I'm sharing. I believe it's really helping, and this kid's just sitting there, and it's good to be there." And she said, "Well, sir, just ring out when you're done." This stuff don't even make sense. I've been in women's prisons. There, you got to get permission. They usually don't let guys in our, I don't know about how it works here, but back home, the guy pastors don't usually have access to the women. It's usually women ministers. And I go minister to women prisoners, and nobody has a problem with it. I remember going in there in the middle of all the cameras and everything. You don't do this stuff arrogantly. You don't do this stuff because you want to, because you're pompous, because you're a Christian. You do it in the heat of the moment when love says so. Amen. And I promise you, nobody will touch you because Jesus happens to be Lord. He really is Lord. I don't care what anybody believes. He's King. He's amazing. And I remember holding this girl whose 10-year-old boy just got ran over by a car in the city street. And she's in jail for using and prostituting, and her son just got killed, and she's sitting in prison. What's that do to a mother's soul? Even though she's hurt, how much does that put on her? I bet she's just ready to die for sure now, huh? I called the prison. I said, "Please don't you tell her. Don't you talk to her. Don't you let her know what happened. Let me tell her." I said, "I respect you, I honor you guys, but this is heavy. Please let me tell her. Honor what I'm saying." When I got in there, they had already found her, so she stripped down in a rubber room. They'd already told her. She stripped down in a rubber room. And I went in there, and I said, "I have to see her." They said, "Okay." They said, "She's not well." I didn't say, "Guys, why did you tell her?" That doesn't change anything now. They already told her. It's not about hashing that out. It's about picking up where God is and loving a girl that's in the biggest trouble of her entire life. Amen. They brought her out in a gown, and she saw my face. She knows me. When people, I don't care how lost you are, when they know you and honor you and see your face, you mean one thing to them. When they get to know you and they see your face in the biggest trouble of their life, that you mean one thing to them. And she bawled and ran to me like I was her daddy or something. And I held her and I said, "I'm so sorry." And I was crying. She was bawling. And the guards are all around me and they're saying, "Pastor, you can't touch her. You cannot have contact with her. They're going to throw you out of here. Every camera's on you. They are going to." And I said, "They won't do a thing." I just held her. I didn't say that in arrogance. Don't you ever say that in a prison. I said that in the moment, in the Holy Spirit. And he's amazing. It's amazing how everybody was frozen and nobody said a word. They should have threw me out of there. Nobody said a word. Jesus is a lot bigger than things. Listen carefully. I'm like, "Where are we going, God? What are we doing?" Because I never have a clue. I'm a journey with you. I'm journeying with you right now. But I see right now what I'm saying, and don't hear me boasting in me or you're hearing me wrong. God won't give you those great privileges and that kind of sovereignty and that kind of access unless your heart is pure and you have one agenda, to love. You don't need to be somebody. You don't need to be acknowledged. You don't need to feel like you've arrived. You don't need somebody to honor you. You just care about that person that's hurting, and you would lay down your life for them in that moment because you want to see them free. Jesus will open everything necessary to get your heart to that situation. The pure in heart shall see God. Not the pompous, not the arrogant, not the hurt, not the offended, not the trying to be somebody heart. The heart that's been with Him and sees the value of men. God will find, you will find favor and God will make a way. I don't know why I went there and spent that little time telling you that, because that's not where we're going now. I can feel it shifting in me. And I don't want you to buckle up. I just want you to ride, okay? Just don't buckle up. Don't get into a safety harness. Because I feel something coming on me. We'll have fun today. Yeah. But listen, we have this great privilege of being His and this great privilege of loving people and walking with Holy Spirit and God doing things that we might not even thought were possible. It's not hype. Just because we've had prayers that didn't seem answered, and just because we've had loved ones that died when we prayed, and just because we didn't get a job when we thought we would, doesn't mean this book's not true. And when you let all that stuff that didn't happen decide who you are, it reveals something, that you haven't known Him yet, and you're in this thing for a different motivation than the truth. And all of a sudden we've shifted into this thing to where it's more about us and what He can do for us instead of Him making us like Him. Because the gospel is about man being transformed back to his original created value before the fall, before the wisdom of the world. It's about putting off the old and all things becoming new. It's about putting on Christ, being renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created Him, Colossians 3. That's Christianity. Christianity is being transformed. It's being born again. It's not a prayer to go to heaven, and it's not favors from God. It's not blessings. It's not your ship coming in. Christianity is your life being transformed and you being molded and shaped to the highest integrity and character that you ever thought was possible. It's Holy Spirit making it possible through you to where you can live in honor and integrity and actually look in a mirror and love what's looking back at you in a healthy way. The reason that's so important is because the two greatest commandments is love God with everything that you are. But the Bible says you can't love God unless you see His first love. So if the love of God is blinded to you, you'll be reduced to serving doctrine. And you'll go to church because you should. But if we see the love of God, our hearts respond in loving Him because His love is amazing. When we understand that He never lost sight of what He made man to be, when we understand that the reason Jesus died on the cross wasn't because we're sinners, it's because we were made for His image and have a great destiny, and He died on the cross and became a lie so the lie could get off of us. He died unjustly so the unjust could go free. Come on, He became guilty so we could stand innocent. The gospel's amazing. The gospel doesn't expose sin. It removes sin to expose value. The cross is all about your value. Nobody would pay such a ridiculous price for something worth nothing. God knows what you look like when He's in you and you're surrendered. God knows you're a house fit for a king. You're prime real estate. He's been wanting to live inside of you from the beginning. And when sin evicted Him from His home, He dealt with the problem so He could move back in and make things new. Come on, the gospel's all about God loving you. The gospel's a good news message. It's good news. It's not turn or burn. It's not, well, you shouldn't have did that. God saw that. Well, you're going to go to hell. That doesn't change men's lives. That makes men afraid of God. And now they become Christian robots. And their hearts could still be far from Him, but they're trying to live for Him, but they're not for Him. That kind of preaching doesn't change your heart on the inside. It's the goodness of God that leads men to change on the inside. When I see a love like this, the last thing I want to do is interrupt its flow. The last thing I want to do is step out of it. The last thing I want to do is take a sneak peek in a corner somewhere and then try to come back and attach to it. Are you kidding me? This love is life. It's identity. It's who I am. You guys following me? Come on, this thing is so powerful. The cross of Christ is all about God getting man back to the state he was in before sin, what he was created to be. God said, let us make man in our image, and in the image and likeness of God, he made man, both male and female, and he blessed them. That's your inheritance. That's your heritage. That's the beginning. Problem is, man made a decision right after that to do something outside of the box of what he was created for. And what it did was it cut him off from God. So God is still God. He still made man with purpose, but man got cut off from the source of love and the source of life, became a God unto himself, became self-centered, self-defending, self-protecting, self-justified. All of a sudden, everybody else was his reason for the way he is. And yet he's created to be like him. And all of a sudden it was every man for himself and eye for eye. And he said, she said, and tit for tat. That wisdom came on the earth when man ate that tree. And all of a sudden what was flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, the woman of the man, the woman. All of a sudden it was her that gave me the fruit. It was you that gave me the woman. Adam, how did you know you were naked? It's the first effect of sin in the Bible. Adam, how did you know you were naked? Did you eat the tree? Friend, that's a yes or no question. It was the woman you gave me. She gave me to eat. Self-justification, self-defense, self-protection, blame shifting. All of a sudden, instead of laying down your life for another, that's what love does, all of a sudden living at the expense of another. Perversion. How many of us in this room, everybody, at some level in our lives have lived at the expense of another? And we've been created to lay down our life for one another. Do you hear the perversion? You've been taught not to get your hope up. That book says get it sky high. You've been taught what you see is what you get. That book says don't ever live by what you see. It's subject to change. What you don't see is eternal. You've been taught your whole life. You made your bed. You sleep in it. That book says he made a new bed. Crawl in it and sleep all night. You heard it your whole life. What you don't know won't hurt you. That book says what you don't know is destroying you. And in all you're getting, get understanding. I bet there's a twist here. I bet we've been trained by another voice. I bet the way that seems right to a man has schooled us and tutored us and has been our teacher. And Jesus said, don't let no one be your teacher. You've got one teacher and he's the Christ. Amen. It's amazing how we still let life teach us. It's amazing how we let life speak louder than truth. It's amazing how we're still defining God through life when he's already revealed through his son. The book's already written and we still write. You don't find God through your circumstances. You find your circumstances through God. You never let what you're going through define who he is. Who he is begins to define what we're going through. And if you never make that adjustment, you'll remain the same. Let your heart get hard and judge something that's just. You guys with me? You must be born again. That means put off the old and put on the new. It means believe God's going to teach you to think different. To think different. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. Old things pass away. Behold, all things, not some things. It's very dangerous to incorporate the same old mentalities into Christianity. It's very dangerous to bring in the same old attitudes and mindsets and thought processes into a brand new life. Because if you try to put new wine in an old wineskin, what happens? It's in the Bible. Maybe we ought to understand what he's saying. If he can change the way we think, he can change the way we live. It's that simple. Because the eye is the lamp of the body. And if your eye's single, your whole body's flooded with light. It's a promise. If you see clear, you live clear. It doesn't say, unless, of course, your friend just betrayed you. It doesn't say unless, of course, your spouse just abruptly left you. It doesn't even say unless, of course, your son just tragically died. It says if you see clear, you will live clear. It's not a cool day if your son tragically died. But if you're in the Lord, you ought to rejoice because you can't lose, because he'll live forever if he's in the Lord. And if it wasn't for the blood, there'd be no life. So don't get mad at God and don't get in a quandary. You say, man, I don't know how this happened and I sure wish it didn't happen and I can't hug him today and I wish I could, but I know one thing. We already won because forever we'll be with the Lord. So I'm going to rise up in integrity. I'm not going to let death rule. I'm going to let life win. And I'm going to lay down my life and live all the more aggressive towards him. And I'm going to let people see the glory of the cross. Amen. And one day I'm going to cross that line and we're going to embrace and I'm going to look in the eyes of my King and be glad that I've lived by faith and not my feelings. Come on, guys. I'm talking real raw and straight. There's people in the room that understand what I'm saying because we've been through these things. We got to stop letting tragedies rule who we are. We got to stop letting people decide who we are. Come on, it's time to be stronger than the weakness around you. If we say Christ lives in us, I'll bet he's a little stronger. You guys with me? I need to read a couple scriptures. Man. I got to share this vision. God, I tried to get away from it. I don't know why I keep getting emotional about it. I didn't try to get away from it. I just walked in my Bible and God said, hey, remember you were on that step ready to share that vision. You went off on me. I was in prayer. I was just interceding, praying for our city, praying for our nation, praying for you, whoever, people. You were in my prayers because I was just praying for all men. I didn't have to, I wanted to. I didn't do it to feel Christian. I did it because love says to do it. Because it says it matters. If I can pray the heart of God back to God, heaven will hear me. If God gave the earth to the children of men to rule and subdue it by the authority of his name and his power, I bet he hears his heart. Look, you can pray because you're frustrated. You might as well save yourself energy. It's just bouncing off your drop ceiling and falling on the floor. If you're just praying for your boss because you're mad at him, quit, adjust your heart so God can move. Yeah. If it's just all about you and you're just saying, God, I don't know why you let him spew on me. I should be worth more than that. God, didn't you love me? Didn't you die on the cross? Why you let that man treat me like that? God, you need to intervene and change his heart. That is not prayer. That's a complaint session and a self-centered pity party. Yeah. It's not prayer. It's you trapped in the way that seems right. But it ain't doing your heart any good. It's not doing the way you see him any good because you're judging a book by the cover. You're judging him according to the flesh. And the Bible says we no longer judge men according to the flesh. We see men for their potential. Come on, if God judged us according to the flesh, he'd have never sent his son. He'd just wait for our flesh to change. God didn't judge us according to the flesh. He judged us for potential and destiny. God knows who you're created to be. He never forgot that or lost sight of that. We've never really known that until the gospel came. And then some of us, when the gospel came, it was just about blessings and eternal life instead of brand new life. Look, my days of being hurt by you have been over for 19 years. You don't have to believe that. Time will tell. I'm telling the truth. There ain't a person in here has the ability to break my heart because I didn't wake up today for you to love me. I'm so loved by God, it's ridiculous. I'm so fulfilled in him, it's ridiculous. And now I have a healthy view of you, and I don't have need of you. I love you. I can finally have healthy relationship with you where my relationship isn't needy and expecting, and now you can break my heart. That's right. And as much as you can make me, you can break me. That's deception. There's so many hurt people in the church because they're trying to find their identity through one another. They're trying to find their value through one another. I'm telling you something very straight, whether you want to believe it or not. You can only find who you are through Jesus Christ. And only then will you be free to have healthy relationship. Or you reduce your I love you to I need you. Oh, you say I love you, but what it means is I need you. And it's all deceived and messed up because here's what love does. Love takes no account of a suffered wrong. Not some account, no account. Doesn't share the wrong with a friend and say, can you believe they did that to me? But hey, I'm okay. Love takes no account of a suffered wrong. So the fact that we're hurt as much as we are and taken back by one another just simply reveals we don't understand love. We have a lot of need. God didn't send his son because he was hurt and couldn't take no more and thought he better set us up, set us straight quick or he's going to fall apart. God sent his son because of love. He wasn't offended at you. He wasn't offended at you. He wasn't offended at you. He said, man, I know who you are. And I know your destiny. And if you'll ever look to me, I'll change you forever. If he be lifted up, he'll. His burden is. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Why? Because he gets you off of you. He gets you stop thinking about yourself. The heaviest burden you've ever carried is living for yourself. Because you're at the mercy of everyone and there's not a lot of mercy all the time. The biggest lie of your life is living for yourself. If you're a Christian, for you, you're in for a great disappointment. You're going to have highs and lows and you're going to ride momentary waves for 3 years and have a whole lot of droughts in between. If you're a Christian, for you, you're going to be in for a big surprise. If you're a Christian for his kingdom and for others, man, you're going to run well. Because nobody can trip you. Nobody can stop your feet from moving. Watch this. The only thing you can do to me is encourage me. Because I've been with him. I've gotten to know him. I understand why I'm alive. Look, I'm going to stretch you a little. My own wife doesn't have the ability to break my heart. She's not in my life for me. I love her. My own wife can't break my heart. You don't have to believe me. It's just listen to my heart. If I go home and I find her in an inappropriate situation for some strange reason, why would I stand there and cry for me and be broken and devastated and lose my identity? Why wouldn't in Christ I cry for her? Because if she's in that position, something's very wrong inside of her. She's in trouble, not me. I'm not in trouble. Why am I in trouble? Because she's sleeping with a man. She's in trouble. Why am I the victim and she's the villain and now I need people to console me? Because I'm finding all my identity through a person. But I sing, holy is the Lord. Just talking, guys. You listen and see if I'm making sense. Because we've allowed people to decide who we are time and time again. But we're not evil and we're not hypocrites and we don't do it on purpose. We've just been taught by the world. You've been taught to think for yourself through the fall. You've been taught to live for yourself. You've been taught to be a Christian for yourself. You've been taught to make it all about blessings and provision and full vats and full barns. You've been taught to give just to get. I'm not saying these pastors. I'm talking the church. At large, we've been taught a very self-centered gospel. And there's a stronger stronghold of self-centeredness in some Christians than before they were saved. And now they have the right to even be mad at God and subpoena him in the court of their mind and find fault with the maker. Well, don't tell me I prayed. If God was faithful here, I was traveling with the pastor a little while ago to lunch. And the pastor said, I haven't read my Bible for so long because every time I read it, it reminds me how much he's failed. That's a pastor. Because they look at their life and define God. They're always waiting for him to prove himself when his love's already proven. Listen carefully. The measuring stick of God's love is not your circumstances. It's Christ crucified. The measuring stick of God's love is Christ crucified. The I love you is already settled. If you let circumstances challenge and judge God's love, you're going to be deceived and you'll never be rooted and grounded in love, and faith works through love. So if love's in question, you're in trouble. And you can't love God first. You see he first loved you. So if love's in question, you're just still demanding of him, waiting on him, or serving him instead of in love with him. There's a problem you've seen in me all weekend. I'm in love. That's my problem, girl. I'm in love.
It feels pretty good too.
Because I'm not weak anymore and vulnerable. And I'm telling you the truth. If something like that would happen to my wife, some Christians can't even wrap their mind around that, because that would be the most devastating day of their life. And you say, oh, Dan, get real. You're in denial. That would have to hurt. Yeah, it would hurt for her in a big way, because something's went way wrong. What's going on inside that girl to put her in the arms in the situation that she's in? God, have mercy on her. What has happened inside her heart? Do you think when that happens, Jesus would be crying for me or for her? Man, he'll leave 99 to go get one. We'll leave one to hang with the 99. Get real with me. He'll leave 99 to go get one. We'll leave one to go hang with the 99. Because they say, oh, honey, I'm sorry. And we feed off of that, but we don't get better. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him first deny himself. He didn't say pray a prayer to go to heaven. He said, if you're going to follow me, you got to deny yourself. Why? You were never made for you. You were made for his image. And if you're not pursuing his image, you're not going to walk in the fullness of what he accomplished and paid for. You can sing about it if you want, but it won't be your reality on Monday. And it won't be your reality on Thursday at work. I'm not being mean. I'm being relatable. I'm being real. If you're not pursuing his image, then you're living outside of where grace is, because grace is to empower what he created you for. And if you just make it all about you and your little ducks and eggs in the basket and your little family and your four and your whole faith is all about God just protecting what's dear to you, that should be every person on the earth, because he shed blood for everyone. We've learned, I know we have an inheritance with children, and children have inheritance in parents, and understand all the scripture of that, but man, it would be a rare thing for somebody to say that you love everybody's children and you're not biased towards your own. But that's God. We covet our children. We would cut off somebody else's children. Even if our kid's wrong, we'll defend them. It's not kingdom. If my kids are in a place and they would be in a bad place and it happened for a season where they didn't want to hug me or I didn't have the ability to hug them, I would be honored to hug your kid. And I wouldn't be one bit hurt, and you ain't going to see pain in my heart. To me, your child's just as valuable as mine is to God, because he shed the same blood and paid the same price for all. I looked at your girls this week and I love them. I don't know if they understand it, but I love them. And I've acknowledged that. And when I look at you, I care about you. I don't have time to spend with you, and I can't make that really real to you, but I can look you in the eyes and tell you, when I see you girls, it feels like you're my own daughters. It's no different than when I look at my own daughter. And I know you have destiny, and I know you have value, and I know you're special and unique and precious in his sight. I know that. And when I look at you, it's all I can see. I ain't like, I wonder what them girls are into. I wonder if they're really doing good. I wonder if they're in trouble. I wonder if they're messing up. There ain't none of that even in me. All I do is look at you and see that you have destiny. And that if you're on the planet, it's because God said there's a time to be born. You're not here because a man went into a woman called mom and dad. You're here because God saw your day before it was ever seen. I know that. So when I see you, that's all I can see. So it's easy to squeeze you and say, hey, thanks for coming down and visiting me. Isn't that what I did this morning? It's easy for me to do that. That's not pastoral protocol. Man, I feel the love of God. Okay, I had this vision. I'm going to get it over with. I was praying, and all of a sudden, it was a real vision to me. It was... It wasn't an open vision. I was praying and I got this picture. It wasn't an open vision. I've only ever had a few of those where my eyes were open and everything that I could see turned into what God wanted me to see. One time my whole kitchen turned into a sky. I had a distraught mother on the phone who couldn't get pregnant, who was atheist, who God saved through healing a deaf lady and gave me a word of knowledge that she was barren. And now she's pregnant with twins. And now they're laying in NICU unit dying overnight because she had them early. And her whole world is ripped out from under her. And she's distraught on my phone. She called me. I'm glad she did. Because what do you say? We believe God. And I'm glad that I have the theology I have because God opened my vision to a sky because I was never in a situation quite as intense as this. Sometimes grace comes like a little child learning to walk and pats you on the hiney. And this big, majestic hand that an artist couldn't paint. There's no way an artist could draw what I saw. The majesty in the hand and the masculinity and the strength. And this hand came down. It was funny because there was a cloud, not a wristwatch. A cloud. I wish these things would go away. There was a cloud around the wrist. And then, you know, duh, that's God's hand. And in the bottom of the what used to be my kitchen floor, couldn't even see my kitchen. It was just, I was crying so hard I couldn't even talk to the woman. I was just, and this hand came down. There was two little stick figurines laying on my floor. And God scooped them. If my theology wasn't what it is, I'd have said, take heart, honey, your children are with the Lord. You know how I think. I said, girl, you need to quit crying. So I said, don't blame me. I had the vision. You didn't. Don't judge me for what I said. Well, that was insensitive. Remember, I didn't go to the school some of you I went to. Nobody taught me this stuff. I said, girl, you need to stop crying. Your children are going to be fine. They're going to live. They're in the hand of the living God. That comes out of your mouth in the anointing of God, in the Holy Ghost, not in a hope-so prayer. It comes out with authority in heavens on every word. It's impossible for them babies to live because that one doesn't even have lungs. It's 1 pound, 9 ounces. The wedding band on my finger went over the hand to the armpit back and forth and never touched skin. When I saw them babies, I stood there and cried. Just the intricate, just the value. Let's God. Little 1 pound, 9 ounce little Clarissa laying on her side the day after she had to die. There wasn't no little lungs in there. They said, Mama, we got to pull the respirator because there's no lungs. They never formed. They won't carry her through life as she grows. They're not there. We're going to have to unplug her. She'll terminate. She called me hysterical. Couldn't even tell who was on the phone. When I figured it out, I said, do you believe God gave you the grace to get pregnant? Yes. Then he'll give you the grace to save those children. Let's pray. And my whole kitchen turned into a sky. He picked them kids up. I said, your babies ain't dying. She said, well, I do feel peace. I was overwhelmed. I yelled at her. I said, peace? You ought to feel peace. Don't you understand? She didn't. I had the vision. I fell apart. My wife knew the situation, heard the message on the machine, knew the lady was, knew what was happening. She caught it. She was there. She run back in the kit because she went in to pray probably, knowing my wife in the room. She heard me yelling at the mom that's distraught. Her babies are dying. And I'm like, peace, do you understand? And I'm like flipping out. And she comes running in. Damn, what's going on? She said, is everything okay? I said, no. I said, the kitchen's a sky. Her babies are in the hand of the living God. And she's like, well, whatever. And I'm like, listen, I'm done talking about this. You call me in the morning with a good report. And I just hung up. We went to church. I come back and my little phone machine is flashing. It always is flashing. I hit it. Watch what she said. Pastor Dan, it's Lisa. Your prayer, it worked. It worked. I'm like, my prayer worked. My kitchen turned into a sky. She said they unplugged her little baby, waiting for her to terminate. She said everybody was depressed and down, and these precious nurses in NICU are doing the best they can, but they got to watch babies die. She's 1 pound, 9 ounces. I never saw anything like it in my life. But she looked just like a little baby. I'm talking wedding band over the, from the hand to the armpit. The nurse said, here, I'm going to do this for you for a memory, for a visual. She sterilized my ring and she pulled out little Chris's hand and went, with my wedding ring. Never touched nothing. She said they unplugged her, waiting for her to gasp, suffocate, terminate. And all she did was just wiggle around and look comfortable. So they ran that ultrasound machine in after medical knowledge said, time is out of control here. Should have done long been dead. They pulled that little machine in and did that little thing and said, we don't know what to tell you, Lisa, but Clarissa's lungs are fine and normal and working. Wow. The reason I told you that is just because it's a fun story. Had nothing to do with the morning. Then, other than open visions come sometimes, they're forms of grace, they're pats on the hiney, they're encouragements. Don't live for those things. Live to know Him. And if those things are necessary, they'll come. But don't live for those things. Live for Him. And if you need one of those, then okay. But this vision wasn't open. I just had my eyes closed praying. And it was kind of, in a sense, you would think comical how God relates to you, but there's nothing funny about the vision. I felt like I was seeing what was hell itself, and it was corridors of hell and darkness and fire and stench. It wasn't good. And I heard all this chaos, and you know how in a movie, you know, you're hearing like the beginning of a movie and the camera might be going through the rooms of a house and you can hear something over it, and finally the camera gets to where the action is. It's kind of how it was. I got all this chaos and screaming. It was vile cursings and complainings and just nasty, nasty stuff going on. And I'm like, whoa. I'm praying and I get this vision and I'm like, I'm just watching the vision. And all of a sudden I see this main room and it's like this corridor in hell. And it was Satan. I could tell who he was because he was taller and he looked like a leader compared to all. And all these other ones were just mutant little manipulated twisted up little critters, and it was lots of them, and they were screaming at Satan himself. And all of a sudden I realized what happened. Jesus just rose from the dead, and they were frantic. Holy Spirit, not Michael, Gabriel and legions in Holy Spirit, just Holy Spirit went into the realm of darkness. Holy Spirit, light is greater. One spirit went in and just lit up the place, man. See, we watched too many movies. He didn't have Michael and Gabriel in the wings. Michael, you come into the left side if it gets a little tight when I'm getting out, Jesus. And then Gabriel, you come back around and cover in the front. One spirit, Holy Spirit, walked into the realm of the dead and said, he's coming with me. He's going to live forever. King of kings, Lord of lords. And there ain't nothing nobody could do to stop it. Because Jesus is Lord. And God is amazing. I promise you, hell fell on its face and surrendered Jesus. I'm telling you, you better understand this stuff or you're going to fear the devil. Ew, witchcraft. Just means we don't know God. Oh, demonic. Just means you don't know God. They are so freaked out by God, they tremble at His name. They are freaked out by God. And they don't want you to know what they see and understand, because if you ever know what they see and understand, it is over. What are you fearing anyway? You'll never die. In this vision, they're screaming, they're going, you fool, we shouldn't have listened to you, you idiot. And they're screaming at Satan, we just played into the hand of God. We were the pawns of God. We're fools in His sight. You idiot, you idiot. And Satan's like trembling and troubled, and he's squirming. He just raised from the dead. Now the scriptures make sense. They'll be justified for His resurrection. They'll be freed from sin. They're no longer under the law of sin and death. God has just brought salvation to men, and we help the cause. You told us to kill him. You said if we kill him, we'll win. We killed him and we lost. You fool, we should have never listened to you. And they're going crazy. And I'm having this vision. I'm thinking, whoa. And all of a sudden, this shrewd face came on the devil. Do you ever see the Grinch that stole Christmas? When he was like, what do I do to stop Whoville? And all of a sudden he goes. Remember? That's kind of what this thing was like. And he said, wait, stop, stop. Everybody, silence. Everybody got quiet. He said, it's true. We made a mistake. It's true that we played like fools into the wisdom of God. And we all know it's true. We cannot defeat him. We cannot stop him. But take heart. We can stop them. Come on. Gather near. And they all came in this vision. It was very powerful. They all gathered in and were listening once again to their master. He said, listen, we know we can't defeat God. We know we're outpowered, but we can defeat them. We've always defeated them. Remember Adam? Ha ha. Remember Eve? We can stop them. Listen, here's what we're going to do, guys. We realize salvation has come to men. We realize the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead can live in them. And if they speak to mountains, mountains must move. We understand now all the Scriptures make sense, but we'll make sure they never really understand. Here's what I want you to do. I'm going to send assignments into every region of the earth, every corner of the earth, wherever there's believers, wherever there's people, wherever they hear this gospel. Make it all about them. Keep them frustrated. Cause them to do things they're capable of. Make them hurt. Make them angry. Let them go and sing all the songs they want. We don't care if they go to church. Let's just make sure they remain the same. Let's let them never become like him. And they begin to do all this. They said, guys, we can do this. We can stop them. Come on, you know men love themselves. Nobody really loves God. They use God. They need God. They don't love God. They need God. They love themselves. So I want you guys to go into every corridor of the earth. Force religion. Force legalism. Force hypocrisy. Make men's hearts hurt, angry, and hard because of other men. And keep their eyes off of Jesus. Keep their eyes on one another. Do you get it? We can't stop God, but we can stop them. And they all got in this big huddle. Break! And they all shot through little holes in corridors. And I stood there and I just cried. And I began to pray and intercede and realize, God, that's been happening for generations. It's a small thing anymore to sing how mighty and awesome God is and dance for 30 minutes and sweat up a storm. And then be hurt because another human being said something you wish they didn't. And all of a sudden I realize we're gravely deceived. And all of a sudden I realize we've been forced and tricked into religion and form and function instead of transformation, anointing, and power. You guys with me? I got to close. No, I got to close. I would like to come on now. I would, man. But I got to close. Colossians 3, and I'm going to close this weekend out with this. Now I want you guys to, man, there's so much, it's in my heart right now. James 3 says, who is wise? Who is wise? Who really understands what they're talking about? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show by the good conduct of their life, not their words, their life, that their works are done in the meekness of wisdom. It says, if you have bitter envy or self-seeking in your heart, then don't boast and lie against the truth. In other words, deal with your heart and get that thing aligned. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, don't boast and lie against the truth. For this wisdom does not descend from above. It's earthly, sensual, and demonic. But the wisdom that comes from above is first pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's willing to yield. Come on, guys. We've been taught by the world. You've been taught that if people do you wrong, you're hurt, broken, angry, or frustrated. You've been taught that way by life, not by Jesus. Jesus taught us another way. He came for a whole chapter and said, you say, but I say. Matthew 5, you say, but I say. You say, but I say. What's he saying? You ain't saying what I'm saying. And we say he's the truth. So if he's the truth, then what he's saying is probably true, and what we're saying needs to change. He says, you say love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say love your enemy. Pray for those who use you and give to those who despitefully use you. You say hate them, I say love them. I say give your enemy a cold cup of water. Not, oh, we got him now, he's going to break. Malchus is on the wrong side of the line in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's with the high priest. They got swords. They got torches. They're coming to get Jesus. Jesus has been praying. Disciples have been sleeping. They're overwhelmed with sorrow, fear, fear of death. They're overwhelmed. They come into the garden and they apprehend Jesus. And when they're ready to take him away, he says, I am he. Peter gets zealous and whips out a sword and he tries to take off the head of a man. He wasn't trying to nick him. And he swung the sword and Malchus got out of the way and it caught his ear. His ear fell to the ground. If he cut it off, it sure fell to the ground. Jesus did say one word to Malchus in the Bible. It's not recorded that Jesus said one word to Malchus. The only word he said was to Peter. He said, Peter, put away your sword. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father's prepared for me? Peter, if you live by the sword, you'll... Can I paraphrase what he's saying? Peter, what are you doing? Why are you acting like them? You've been with me all this time. I don't fight this way. Stop. And while he's saying that to Peter, guess what he's doing to Malchus? See, he didn't just tell you to love your enemy. He loved his enemy. And he said, your enemy's not flesh and blood. So why do we cut off people in our lives? Because God didn't cut you off. The whole time he's correcting Peter, he's putting Malchus's ear on. Never says a word to him. Here's what we do with Malchus. We pick up his ear, meaning his need, his dilemma, his crisis, the thing he created. We pick up his ear and we woo him to the altar. We say, hey, Malchus, running on the wrong side, pal. Bad company corrupts good morals, friend. Probably need to switch sides. Probably need to repent. Probably need to come over here. Maybe God will have mercy and restore a few things. We think that's totally gospel. And guess what you're doing? You're only getting Malchus to come to God for what God can do for him, instead of the beauty of who God is. And Jesus didn't evangelize that way. Here's Jesus. Fixed the ear, rebukes the disciple. Don't tell me the man didn't have blood all over his shirt. This man's covered with blood. And whether he picked the ear up and put it back on or made a new one, it doesn't matter to me. It's not worth arguing over theologically. He fixed the man. What are you going to do if you're Malchus? He never corrected you. He never said, why are you running with them? You're there to tie him up, to take him to Pilate, to have him killed. That's why you're there. In the process, one of his buddies cuts off your ear, and the one you're trying to kill puts your ear back on and rebukes his buddy for doing it, and then you tie him up and take him and kill him. Put yourself in Malchus's shoes. The whole time he's being questioned, the whole time Herod's grilling him, the whole time he's going back to Pilate, they're beating him and thumping him and flogging him. And there's Malchus. People, man, what happened to your shirt? What happened? Are you okay? What's he say? Well, yeah, I am. Are you all right, man? How'd you get all that blood in? That one of his guys, and he. See, I'm a firm believer that we'll see Malchus in everlasting life, that's undoubtable to me. You say, Dan, that's speculation. No, you can't run from that kind of love. It's the power of God unto salvation, the gospel. Are you guys following me? I got to read this because I'm up 1:15 and I did good early service. Are we messing things up? Should I just shut down? We all right? You guys all right? You sure? You can't get mad at me because of what I'm preaching. See, we love you, brother. I just need to wrap this up, okay? This is Christianity, and I'll just put a ribbon, a bow, an exclamation point on the weekend, whatever you want to call it, and I'll let your pastor come up and close this thing out, okay? I'm just instructing you this morning. I'm cheering you on. I'm telling you, listen, our lives are worth the blood to God the Father. Jesus' death is worth our lives lived. That is a far cry from just going to heaven someday when this thing's over on the earth. It's us being filled with Him, being overtaken by Him, being transformed by Him, so in your sphere of influence, you walk in the light and make peace. Your days of frustration, please call them dead. Get alone with God and say, man, I'm going to teach you it real quick. Let me just read. Since you were raised with Christ, Colossians 3. Since you were raised with Christ, seek the things which are above. What are you to seek? We're always saying the kingdom of, you know, of God on earth as it is in heaven, right? We're supposed to go proclaiming the kingdom of God is here. He said, don't look here, don't look there. The kingdom's in you. So seek the things which are above. Why? Don't put all your chips on this life and let this life decide who you are. Let the life inside of you decide who you are, because this is a little wisp and a vapor of time that lets you leave a legacy for eternity. Don't miss the honor. This one little life, it's here and going, man. There's people in here in their 70s. I'm 52. The older you get, you look back, you can't even relate to how old you are. It's a blur. Am I telling the truth? Rod, you're 78. You told me that. I hope that doesn't matter that I said that. You're 78. You told me that. It seems like yesterday when you were whatever. You can't even relate to 78, can you?
Life is always the same length.
Am I telling the truth? Who turned 50 recently and you're like, how can I possibly be 50? It's not that you're in denial. You know you're 50, but you can't relate to them many years going by. This thing is a wisp and a vapor, and it doesn't even mark the map of eternity, yet it speaks for eternity. So why don't we redeem the times, because the days are even. Arise from our sleep and let Christ give us light. I'm not saying you're sleeping. I'm not being rude. What I'm saying is, let's make every moment count. Let's let every day matter. Let's let every step you take and every breath you take know it's taking you to the day you stand before Him and account for the gift called life. Not the dread, not the drudgery, not life is tough, life is bleep, life is blank. No, life is a gift. Let's make the most of it and embrace that truth. So since you were raised with Christ, seek the things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind. See, your mind wants to drift. Your feelings want to disagree. Your emotions want to get out of line and insubordinate. You got to set your mind on things above. Sometimes you need to say, self, you need to get over you and quit feeling hurt and quit feeling bad, because God ain't hurt by me and I ain't hurt by them. God did nothing but love me and it brought salvation to me. I'm going to love them and it'll bring salvation to this situation. I'm done just being flesh. I'm living by the Spirit and manifesting Christ. Sometimes you got to talk to yourself that way and live that way. Are you just going to be another statistic, another Christian that goes to church, another hurt Christian? It's unscriptural. It is. Christ sitting at the right hand, set your mind, for you died. See, you didn't pray a prayer to go to heaven. The Bible says you died. Jesus says some amazing stuff. He says, unless you love less your wife, your children, your houses, your land, and yes, even your own life, you'll by no means be my disciple. He says, if you love your life, you've already lost it. But if you lose your life for my name's sake, you will find it. Come on. Jesus said that. That's not condemning. That's not over aggressive. That's the truth that makes men free. Are you guys following me? Watch this. When Christ, who is our life, appears, when Christ, who is our life, appears, we will appear with Him in glory. Now watch this. Therefore, because this is true, in light of this, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication. The first thing He's talking about is our sexual desires. He didn't say manage it. He said put it to death. He said your sex drive, the way you know it, is the fall of man, and there's a healthy, holy place. So stop relating to the way it's always been and embrace that there's something new and ask Jesus to reveal it to you. Because if not, you're just going to live at the expense of each other and meet each other's need. The highest you have is, hey, honey, it's been 3 days. You are looking good. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. We've been busy. Hey, let's go. He didn't say manage. He said, put to death your members. Put to death your members which are on the earth, not in the spirit, on the earth. Put to death your members. He talks about desires and uncleanness and passions and evil desires, covetousness. It's all idolatry. It's all raised above the truth of who God made you to be. That's why it's idolatry. In which all of us once walked. Once we all lived this way. We were all taught by this. But now you yourselves are to put off these. Not manage, put off. There's a big push, anger management. Anger management, the Bible says, put it off. How do I put off anger management? How do I put off anger, malice, sexual desire? How do I put these things off without getting into works and risking to fail? I get alone with God in my prayers and recognize I was never made for these things. I became these things. And the only thing He's asking me to give up is what I never was in the first place. And all of a sudden, I get back to truth. How old?
88.
88. Bless you, sir. But it doesn't seem like a long time ago. You were 40, 50, 60, right? Yeah, and it just went like that, didn't it? Here's a man that's 88, and we don't know where time has gone. Now watch this. 88 years is a wisp and vapor in the light of eternity, but it means everything in the light of eternity. That's my point. Thanks for sharing that, man. Were you really? Well, bless you, man. 88 years old. Come on, give him a shout. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Bless you. That's awesome, man. Yay. Watch this. Watch this. I got to wrap up. I'm way late. I'm so sorry, Pastor. I didn't want to do this. But now you yourselves, you're put off these things. So you get alone in prayer. Father, I thank you. You made me for your image. God, you never made me for myself. You never made me, God, to be just taught by the world and schooled by the world and ruled by the world. You made me to love. You made me to show mercy. You made me to make peace. And God, I thank you. You're doing that work in me. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. I renounce the right to be these things. I renounce that identity that is not who I am. And I thank you. You've made all things new. God, I put off the works of the flesh and I put on love and mercy and kindness and gentleness. God, thank you for changing me because I want change. I want love and I can't try hard enough to be like you, but you'll make me like you because I want to be. You know, I've learned in a congregation this size, there's always a handful of people that don't want to become love. They want to hold on to their hurts, their anger, their pain, and their rights. And here's the thing. None of those things is who you're created to be. You got rights through sin, not through your created value. How can you deny yourself and have rights? When you deny yourself, you give up your rights to obtain one, to be like Him. That's a Christian. Now, I'm not saying you're going to hell if you ain't living this way. You can actually see your need for a Savior. You can get your sins forgiven through His blood and honor Him as your Savior. I believe that. And miss the fact and never been told or never understood the fact that the whole goal of your instruction is to become love and pursue His image. And all of a sudden, you're just with a good heart trying to be a Christian and live a decent life and letting all the other stuff bother you that used to bother you because nothing's really changed in your understanding. You just see your need for a Savior. Christianity is not church attendance, it's Christlikeness. And it's always been about transformation, not blessings. So we're going to put off these things. We're not going to lie to one another. Why wouldn't you lie to one another? Because you put off the old man and his deeds and you put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to Him, the image of Him who created him. Who's the new man? Renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Look at verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, would you stand to your feet with me? I'm closing. I'm sorry. I know I'm late. I know we got kids in the room and stuff and all that stuff. And I know somebody's probably hungry, but I feel pretty full right now. Yeah. Hi, little beautiful. Good to see you again. Little worshiper. Yeah. She was the little one last night just the whole time. She just walking around. Loving Jesus. Man, you can watch a child for about a minute and realize why he said, unless you become like little children. See, there ain't an ounce of self-consciousness right now in her at all. And watch this. She ain't doing what she's doing to be noticed. She don't even know what she's doing. She's just being a kid. She ain't like, ooh, everybody watching me. Ooh, everybody thinks I'm something. She's just being a kid. There ain't no pretense. There ain't an ounce of nothing in her but innocence. Look at that. And Jesus said, unless you become like that, unless you become like that, you'll by no means see the kingdom of God. What's he talking about? Being childish? Being restored to innocence, where your motives pure as could be. You guys with me? Okay, this is the punchline. This is the end of this thing. This is my prayer over you, and this is an exhortation over you, and this is what I want to call you to. I'm going to get in my truck and drive home. Life's going to go on for you right here in New Jersey. What you do with a fellow like me, and what you do with I've cried out like a madman for 3 days, is between you, your conscience, and God. But I want you to be a good steward, and I want you to take these words serious, and I want you to know that your individual life is as valuable as any other's individual life. You are not less than, and you are not more than. Every mountain's down, every valley's up. We're all on the same plane. We all cost the blood, right? So there's not a high life or a low life in the room. We all have potential. We all have a God-given sphere of influence, and we can all make a difference. So why don't we run together and be the army we sang about rising up? You guys follow me? So listen, you're the steward of your heart. Guard your heart, because out of your heart flows the issues of life. Don't let your heart get hurt. Don't let your heart get hard. And don't let any other thing be the reason for who you are and why you are than Him. Because if He's the reason, you're going to be in a good place. You guys with me? Don't say, yeah, but Dan, you don't understand what I've been through. That's deception. Stop that. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. What about what He's been through? Why are we nothing more than a product of what we've been through when faith says we're a product of what He's been through? If you don't start where He finished, you'll never run well. Okay, therefore, because of all these things, in light of what He said, now this is for you guys, this is a good exhortation to close with. Some of you, if you need to, close your eyes and just really hook up, okay? If you don't have to close your eyes, don't, but I feel like some of you know what I mean by that. Just don't be distracted right now. Just close your eyes and listen to what God's saying to us. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ has forgiven you, you also forgive. But above all these things, church, put on love. It is the bond of perfection. Father, I thank You for this house. I thank You for the things You've imparted. I thank You for stirring our hearts. I thank You, God, there's a great marriage between coming and going. I thank You as we came here today, we can go here looking more like You. And I just thank You that, God, we will continue to grow and increase in Your love and abound in it more and more. And our love will be sincere without hypocrisy. Let our lives make a difference in the lives of others, because truly we sing and believe You made a difference in us. Thank You for Your goodness, God. We honor You with our lives, not just our words. We honor You with our motives, our attitudes, our hearts. We don't want to be a people whose lips are for You and our hearts far from You. God, You have captured us. Keep molding us. We are not condemned. Grow us up into You in all things, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, honey.
Hey, I know it's late. Would you give me your attention for a moment? Would you just take, I know you're thinking, not now.